Judge Jeanine Pirro.
She's the outspoken host.
Judge Jeanine Pirro is dominating the headlines right now.
This is the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show on 77 WABC. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Yesterday, Saturday, was beautiful. And as always, we are armed and ready to serve justice with all my great listeners here on Talk Radio 77 WABC and all listening to our stream on the WABCradio.com and on the 77 WABC mobile app. So I want to make sure I hear from you in just a little bit. We're going to take your calls right here on the Friends of the Court hotline. You know the number. It's 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Make sure you give us a call and share your thoughts. I always love hearing what you think because I, you know, in this crazy world, sometimes I think I'm crazy. But anyway, and later in the show, I'll reveal the results of our question of the week. And finally, the question pertains to the issue of race in the United States. But there's so much that happened this week in America. Crime continues to skyrocket. It's almost as though we've become desensitized to the horrific violence that is going on around us. Fentanyl sent from China through and coming through our southern border is killing us. It's killing our kids. Woke politicians seeking social justice don't have a clue. Nancy Pelosi, that dream out there on the West Coast, determined that she would have the hearing on the January 6th protest, saying it was deadly serious work. But she blocked two of Kevin McCarthy's appointments of Jim Jordan and Congressman Banks. And so Jordan said, forget it. But she's going to go ahead without McCarthy's recommendations. We'll get to all those topics and break it all down for you here on the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show. Plus, later on in the show, I'm going to gavel out with my closing arguments. I also want to reveal the new question of the week that you don't want to miss. I always love your participation in the weekly polls on topics that matter to justice here in America. It's all coming up in just a few moments here, but first, it's time for my opening statement. Look, you know it, and I know it. America, as we know it, is coming to an end. We're watching it in real time. It is moving so quickly that when it's gone, we won't be able to identify the exact moment when it happened. What I fought for in law enforcement, what my father and grandfather fought for in World War II, what you, your parents, and your grandparents fought for, appears to be coming to an end. And the concept of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? How many of us would describe life today as being what our founding fathers imagined? If we don't speak in politically correct terms, we're canceled, we lose our jobs, we're erased. Hey, they did it to a president of the United States. Big tech is still deciding what we can read and what we can post with no regulation or by the government or government interference. Our kids are now being taught in school that the color of their skin determines whether they're oppressors or racists. I could go on, but there's one thing more than any other that signals the ruination and eradication of a society and trumps everything else. That one thing? Crime. When crime is not prosecuted, when criminals are not stopped, lawlessness, anarchy, and chaos result. The dominoes continue to fall with the ripple effect. You see, crime doesn't just affect and harm the victim. It visits the loved ones, the family, the friends, the neighbors, and the community at large. Fear becomes generalized. It immobilizes people. Criminals are then emboldened to continue to commit crimes. Businesses cannot prosper. Families are not safe. Schools close. Churches merge. Businesses fail. People become depressed and dependent. Add to that a pandemic where the enforcement of rules is far from consistent, where they actually are telling us if we can go to church services and that our children are not allowed to go to school, and an administration in Washington still can't figure out whether we should wear masks or not wear them. But you know what, everyone? This is more than a few malcontents. What we're experiencing now is a massive orchestration by culture haters. American-hating, power-hungry individuals who despise America, democracy, capitalism, and everything America stands for. And right now they're winning. Respect for the rule of law is gone in most cities, especially ones run by the Democrats. As a result, there is chaos, lawlessness, and crime, and a belief, almost an acceptance, that criminals are entitled to take whatever they think they need from a store. Last week, 2 weeks ago, was in Neiman Marcus in the middle of the day. This week, it was TJ Maxx in California walking out with the biggest sack of goods I've ever seen anyone walk out of a store with, and they walked. They weren't running. No one was arresting them. You know why? Because in California, those bozos that will not prosecute crime if the value stolen is less than $950. So let's assume they stole $1,000. They go in anyway, and they end up being bailed, right? They go out, and they steal another $950, and then another $950, and then they could start their own store. I mean, this is nonsense. And they are winning. The rule of law is gone. And, you know, criminals, they're not even running. They're not even fearful. But, you know, I want you to take a listen to Lori Lightfoot in Chicago. I think it's cut number two. Her idea about gun violence.
It's obvious we cannot arrest our way out of this problem.
All right. Lori Lightfoot out of Chicago says we cannot arrest our way out of the problem. You're wrong. That's just what you need to do. You need to arrest people. In Chicago this week, 61 people were shot. In New York City, the numbers are going through the roof. The numbers are so bad, people are afraid to walk down the street in the middle of the day. In the middle of the day in New York City, once the safest big city in the nation, is now quickly turning into one of the most unsafe. And then you've got Washington right outside the game last week. And now this week, take a listen to what sounds like a war zone in Washington where criminals are shooting up each other in Washington. That's in our nation's capital. Our nation's capital. They're not doing anything. And then the mayor in Washington, D.C., Mayor Muriel Bowser, she says, you know, we're gonna go after. This is all about guns. Baloney. It's about criminals who have guns, who use those guns. And it's about us. All of us are being taken hostage. This is a bad situation. But it's not like we haven't been here before. In New York City in the 70s, it was horrific. Crime was rampant. Criminals had no fear. And it took a prosecutor to strategize with police commissioners to engage in smart policing to identify crime areas and penetrate those areas with law enforcement. They implemented the broken windows policy. They implemented CompStat, where they actually would go where the crimes were occurring. And very often with the broken windows, when you prosecute those low-level crimes, they signal the start of a criminal career. Then they made the criminal accountable. The men who did that were Rudy Giuliani, Bill Bratton, Ray Kelly, Bernie Kerik. But it was the brainchild of Rudy Giuliani who turned New York City around and became America's mayor. We can do it again. We need politicians to stop with this nonsense, this euphemistically referred to bail reform, where every criminal knows that as soon as he gets arrested, if he gets arrested, that he's going to turn and walk out of jail. He knows his case will never go to trial. I mean, in Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, she says the courts are closed. The courts are open in Chicago. They're open. The mayor doesn't even know that. And so the DA comes in and she says, you know what? I'm going to dismiss all nonviolent cases. That means, like, if they stole your life savings, or if they decided that, you know, they were going to take the title to your house, or if it was a drug crime, they're going to let them all go because it's not violence. And I'll bet a misdemeanor is not considered violence either. We are just defining deviancy down to the point where we're becoming totally, totally desensitized and nobody cares. Now, what we need to do is we need to reelect politicians and hold their feet to the fire. Do you believe in law and order? Do you believe in America? Do you believe that we have should have the ability to repeal this bail reform? Do you believe that we need to fund police? Do you believe that the minority community in the inner cities are worth saving? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of babies being killed. I'm tired of kids being shot on the way to a toy store like that four-year-old in New York City. I'm tired of a 71-year-old woman with a walker being beat down by people. Or in Queens, a bunch of thugs going after a fireman walking his dog saying it's fight night. I'm tired of this. These kids are on drugs. The drugs are coming in from China, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit with a with an individual from the Drug Enforcement Agency. The bottom line is that we've got to make a change. We've got to make sure that we are in the business of making sure that we elect individuals who will change America back to what we wanted. Individuals who believe, as we do, in law and order, and individuals who believe in truth, justice, and the American way. So, before we get to our guest in the next segment, I just want to tell you a little about him. Up next on the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show, we've got an expert formerly with the Drug Enforcement Agency. He's going to scare the heck out of you. His name is Derek Maltz. He's going to tell you some of the truths going on in our country with drugs, and he's also going to tell you what's going on in the United States vis-a-vis China, as well as our open southern border and how we're all being victimized by it, right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Born from tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been honoring America's heroes since 9/11. And the foundation has been going on ever since. The foundation is bringing 200 mortgage-free homes to Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children and to the nation's most catastrophically injured veterans and first responders this year. To honor the fallen, Frank Siller is connecting is where America was attacked on foot, the Pentagon, Shanksville, and downtown Manhattan, where he arrives the morning of 9/11. Thanks to your support, Towers of Light are to fill the sky at the Pentagon and Shanksville memorials again this year. People lost to 9/11-related illnesses are being honored at a ceremony September 12th for the first time. And another first is planned for Veterans Day. Those lost in the War on Terror are having their names read aloud. Honor the vow to never forget. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
The Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show on 77 WABC. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
During this 20th anniversary year of 9/11, help America to never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. T, the number 2, T.org. Welcome back, everyone, to the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show, and a special shout-out as well for those of you joining us via our live stream on the 77 WABC mobile app and on WABCradio.com, streaming worldwide. Now, my first guest today is the former special agent in charge of the United States Department of Justice Special Operations Division, which was a multi-agency operational center of 30 agencies from three countries, and it included the NYPD for almost 10 years. And he previously held the position as chief of the New York Drug Enforcement DEA Task Force. Please join me in welcoming Derek Maltz of the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Sunday morning show. First of all, Derek, thanks so much for being with us. You have a distinguished career. I could go on for 20 minutes with your background. You won the Presidential Rank Award, and you're the lead spokesperson for the DEA for over 10 years. So you know the subject about which we will speak very well, and we're thrilled to have you on. My biggest concern and where I want to start is the fact that fentanyl seizures at our southern border is rising dramatically, and they say that it's now 78% higher than it was last year. What is going on? And tell us what fentanyl is. Tell my listeners exactly what it is.
Judge, thank you very much. And so let me start off by saying everybody has to realize there's a clear and present danger right now to the U.S. population from the Mexican cartels who are working with the Chinese criminal networks. What's happening is the Chinese organized criminals are sending massive amounts of precursor chemicals into Mexico, where they're making not only massive amounts of fentanyl that's killing kids at record levels, but also making multi-ton quantities of methamphetamine, okay? And fentanyl is a synthetic opioid, right? You know, it has been used, you know, successfully for pain in hospitals. But the reality is what's going on now is it's killing kids at record levels. And we're talking about, in many cases, kids that were not even addicted to drugs, taking counterfeit pills, and their parents are finding them dead around the entire country.
Yeah, that's right, Derek, and we hear about it far too often. But when you say it's a synthetic opioid, fentanyl, it's similar to morphine, but it's 50 to 100 times more potent. So kids are getting this in the form of a pill, Derek?
Yes. So let me give you a good example. I like to use this because it really highlights the significance. So when the cartels realize the amount of money they can make because of the U.S. population's addicted to opioids, in Phoenix DEA, they started looking at the statistics of the counterfeit pills that are coming in. They call them M30s or Blue 30s. They're just oxy counterfeit pills. They're fentanyl. They kill, right? So in 2015, there were zero seizures of these pills. In 2020, there were 6 million pills seized, Judge.
Wow.
So let me tell you another thing that's very disturbing that people are not talking about because mainstream media is burying the message. 26% of those pills that were analyzed by the DEA lab, massive analysis done, are lethal doses. So one in four of these pills can kill instantly. Judge, it only takes 2 milligrams of fentanyl to kill. So 1 kilogram, okay, can kill 500,000 people. That's why we're seeing mass amounts of death, because the kids have no idea what they're taking. So we have to change the messaging and the education to the parents and the teachers and our population. This is no longer an opioid addiction alone. It's a crisis of fentanyl murders and poisoning. But the real point, Judge, is that the Chinese are destabilizing our country behind the scenes using the cartels.
Right.
And this is frightening.
That's exactly where I was going, Derek Maltz, formerly with the Drug Enforcement Task Force. The whole idea of kids getting high and then they increase the quantity to get higher and higher. What they're doing, it seems like if they're giving one out of four of these pills, that include, what is the pill called with fentanyl?
So it's called, you know, M30s, you know, it's called Oxy. I mean, the kids think they're getting real OxyContin. They think they're getting Percocet. They think they're getting Xanax. In reality, all it is pills that are pressed in the, they buy the presses from China. They have them in the U.S. too now. So they put the powder of fentanyl in there, and then they press the pills to appear to look like real pills. But they're not. They're fentanyl. It's poison. So
what you're saying is this is an intentional killing. If one out of four 100%. Has enough... Did you say 100%?
100% what you just said. It's the cartels want to make as much money, so I wouldn't say they are intentional killing the kids. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have, you know, quality control chemists that are mixing this stuff. They're not mixing it properly. The Chinese transnational criminals, in my opinion, based on my following of this for the last 11 years, this is an ongoing assault against our country. It's part of their unrestricted warfare to destabilize our country, hiding under the drug addiction. And it's working brilliantly from their standpoint. Well, that's what they want
to
do.
Right, to destabilize our country. And you know what's interesting is when you say the cartels, I mean, they don't have any quality control. They don't know. But you and I both know from having worked in law enforcement for so long that you may not want to intentionally kill someone, but you're still killing them if you're recklessly engaging in conduct.
Right.
Yeah, if you and I know it, I mean, they're selling this stuff, so I'm sure they know it as well. So why do you think...
doing business.
Yeah, the cost of doing business. Right. Why do you think, you mentioned the mainstream media, why do you think the mainstream media is not covering this?
Well, it's very clear, Judge, especially now there's a gag order on the Department of Justice to even talk to national news about the Mexican cartels. They're not allowed to use the word Mexican cartels. I saw the email myself, okay? And the agents in the DEA and other agencies are pissed off because we're not telling the public the truth and what's going on. The main reason they don't want to talk about it is because of the Mexican border and the open border, the porous border, and the drugs and the people are flying in here, you know, like we've never seen in the history of the country as well.
Yeah.
So it's very political. That's the bottom line.
So you've got the mainstream media that's covering up. We've got the Biden administration that is not only they're not looking the other way. They're throwing down the welcome mat. They're saying to these people, come on in. We'll bus you in. We'll fly you in. We don't care if you have COVID. We don't care if you have disease. We're going to send you to school. We're going to deliver you under the cover of night to these towns and cities that don't want them. What's going on, Derek?
Well, in my opinion, they're trying to change the political landscape for the entire country in the future. Look at the Air Force putting the illegal migrants on planes and sending them. And then the lieutenant colonel was busted putting out an email saying, don't take photographs, no social media. Again, covering up the truth, no transparency. And the bottom line, Judge, I work with the families around America every day, and they're really upset. We're having a rally in front of the Chinese embassy on August 27th in Washington, D.C., and all the families from around the country, they call them like the angel families, lost voices of fentanyl. They don't feel like they're getting any support, and they're really getting upset because kids are dying like that we've never seen before. This is something new.
Wow. Derek Maltz, I have to tell you, you are a fountain of information here. The saddest part of this is what is happening. They've got 4,000% increase in the fentanyl seizures. And they say that they're busting people, but how is this fentanyl getting in, Derek? Let me be the stupid one here. I mean, you and I both know how it gets in, but I mean, we're talking about massive amounts, but when the coyotes bring in those individuals and those kids who have no family and they're just put on a bus, don't they have some kind of identification where they continue to do the drug trafficking within the interior of the country?
Well, several things to answer your question. First of all, the cartels are a multi-billion dollar organization, so they have many sophisticated ways to get their stuff into the country. You know, the tunnels that Chapo Guzman and those other organizations have been using for years. They use cars, they use traps, they use tractor trailers with produce, they use planes, they use cargo. Anyway, just look this week up in Maine, they found cocaine in a birthday cake, okay? So there's a lot of different ways of moving the drugs around. But the reality is what they're doing, Judge, is they're calling it flooding the zone. They're taking 25 migrants. They're blitzing an area of the border. The Border Patrol gets stuck with migrant care instead of border security. And then a half a mile up the river, they'll send in the special interest aliens, the drugs, and then the guns and money will come southbound and it will be undetected. So they're very clever. They're also making billions from the migrant smuggling.
Right.
And by the way, one last thing I have to tell you, because nobody talks about this. The cartels are also relying on the Chinese for the money laundering services.
Right.
There was a big indictment announced out of New York this week where they arrested seven Chinese nationals for $20 million in laundering of drug proceeds, right?
Yeah.
And they wound up seizing $6.5 million. So the Chinese are playing a significant role because they like what the results are, death of Americans.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And then you think about the president's son, Hunter. you know, who was going over there and is an admitted crack addict, and the connections to China are so disturbing. Anyway, Derek Maltz, God bless you for what you've done and what you're continuing to do, and much luck on the August 27th rally in front of the Chinese embassy. We support you in your efforts to get the word out, and we're going to continue to get the word out. Derek Maltz, thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you, Judge, for everything you do.
Take care. And up next here on the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show, I will be speaking with former special assistant to President Donald Trump, son of former New York City mayor and 77 WABC radio host Rudy Giuliani, and now candidate for governor of the state of New York, Andrew Giuliani.
Judge Jeanine Pirro is dominating the headlines right now.
It's the perfect time for a verdict, and you heard it here. This is the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
During this 20th anniversary year of 9/11, help America to never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. T2T.org. All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. A special shout-out as well for those of you joining us via our live stream on the 77 WABC mobile app and on WABCradio.com, streaming worldwide. My next guest is a very special person. He is a former special assistant to President Donald Trump, a Newsmax TV contributor, and now a candidate for governor of New York State. Please join me in welcoming Andrew Giuliani to the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. Thank you, Andrew, for joining me. How are you today?
Judge, thank you so much for having me. You know, just to comment on your last segment, one of the things that I worked on while in the White House was on the opioid task force. And I have to tell you, I was so proud of the work that President Trump did. From 2017 to the beginning of 2020, we actually saw opioid deaths around the country go down 17%.
Yep.
One of the very sad things about these lockdowns that we've been seeing over the last 18 months is that they have spiked up to new record highs. So it's great that you're highlighting this. It's something that's an issue certainly in suburban New York and all around the country. So
clearly,
good on you.
And, you know, first of all, Andrew, I mean, the work that you did is really very compelling. You collaborated with the Department of Treasury and business leaders to craft the Paycheck Protection Program. You worked to vet and shape President Trump's Great American Reopening Committee. And you're currently on the board of the United States Holocaust Museum. And you've been involved in helping one of my favorite foundations, Tunnel to Towers, Heart of a Lion Foundation, the First Tee, City Meals on Wheels, Leukemia, Lymphoma, and it goes on and on. And I know you personally, and I know that you're a fighter. Let's talk about the race for governor. Look, Andrew, we all know this Putz Cuomo. He's got to go. And I am so disappointed that the Department of Justice, but not shocked, the Department of Justice is no longer looking into the fact that he actually ordered COVID-infected patients to go back into nursing homes, which ended up killing innocent, vulnerable senior citizens. So, but the question is, who are we going to put up? We got to put up a fighter. Right now, it looks like Lee Zeldin has a Republican leaders, and that's part of the procedural dance you have to do to get on the ballot. Talk to me about that.
Sure. So you're absolutely right. Congressman Zeldin has the Republican leaders. What we have, though, is the 2.9 million registered New Yorkers. So there have been two statewide polls conducted, one by the Zeldin camp. That information was not released. When we found out that he did a poll and did not release his information, we realized it might have been pretty good news for us. So we did our own statewide poll and saw that we were up 8 points statewide. Again, this is early, but we're up 8 points statewide. From a favorables perspective, up 17 points. So for us, we look at it very simply. Yes, we do need to get on the ballot, but there are a couple of different ways. As you've mentioned, Judge, we need to get 25% of the committee men to get us on there, or we petition our way on the ballot. Either way, we're prepared to do that and make sure that the 2.9 million registered Republicans in New York have a say over the process and that it's not a backroom Albany deal. That's the one thing that I want to make sure it doesn't happen, because I think
New Yorkers do not like when their candidate is chosen by a backroom deal.
All right. Well, let's talk about the issue that I did in my opening statement today, and that is crime. All of this woke nonsense, this woke lunacy that's going on that is really preventing people from even walking down the street in New York City. What can the governor do about that? What would you do?
Well, I think here's one thing to highlight that's important for all of us. You know, we always focus on New York City. The national media focuses on it. This is an issue that's going on across the state, obviously across the city. But Buffalo right now, they are on pace to have the most murders in the history of the great city of Buffalo. Rochester, violent crime is up 68%. So it's consistent. One, you have to repeal bail reform. That has been a disastrous piece of legislation that has completely handcuffed the cops right there. But I think what I would do from a New York City perspective is on day one, you obviously will have a new mayor that will be coming in on November 2nd. Will be elected November.
Thank God for that.
Thank goodness, right?
Yes.
But what I would do is I would clean up the subways. And here's the reason why, Judge. As you know, it's a state-run organization, the MTA. And I think if, unfortunately, after the next mayor gets elected, if we don't see much of a change from crime on the streets, what I want New Yorkers to see is the juxtaposition between a Governor Giuliani and the new mayor. If ultimately they see clean subways, safe subways, get their streets are not the way that they need them to be, I think they will be able to tell the difference. So from a New York City perspective, I would immediately, on day one, start focusing my resources on the subway because it's something that, as governor, I could control right there. And then we start working out. I guess we'd work up, if you would.
Yeah. Well, you know, I went to college in Buffalo, and I spent a lot of time in Rochester. I hear in Rochester, the mayor's husband was just arrested. And in Buffalo, there's all kinds of problems with crime, which is really stunning. I mean, this bail reform is an absurdity. It's got to be changed. Do you think the legislature is ready to change that? And how would you be able to fight for that?
Not this legislature, Judge. I mean, this legislature, you have two Democratic supermajorities. So right now, the governor would not be able to do everything. But I think that's the importance of having a strong name at the top of the ticket.
Right.
I expect that on January 1st of 2023, after our 2022 elections, that both of those supermajorities will cease to exist. And I even have some hope, some outside hope, that we may be able to take back the state Senate. If you can whittle down those supermajorities there, then you have an opportunity to do that. But you ultimately need to examine what you can do through executive order, through executive power. I talk about that a lot for deregulation. And I use President Trump as a great example. His deregulatory agenda, that was done out of the White House with, for half the time at least, a House that did not want to pass his agenda. And really the first half of the time, you had, I would say, lukewarm reception from some Republicans in the House and in the Senate.
There. I remember
that. I've used him as a real example of how to actually get the issues on the table that New Yorkers need, whether or not you have a friendly assembly in state Senate or whether you have a situation like we see right now, which is, an assembly in a state Senate that's dominated, unfortunately, by Democrats and some socialist Democrats.
What about the education system? I mean, parents are beside themselves in terms of schools and these teachers. Randy Weingarten and the UFT, I mean, these people are, I mean, it's almost as though she's in the CDC telling them what to say.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And they are just simply not following the science. I think it's a great example for why we need more charter schools all across the state. You know, Judge, Andrew Cuomo came into office saying he was a charter school advocate. Well, this last $212 billion budget, I've been calling it the boondoggle budget because that's what it was. It was a boondoggle for all his friends to stay in power. He gave a 16% increase to the teachers union while keeping the charter school cap statewide at 460. By the end of my first term, I promise we will have over 1,000 charter schools in New York State. New York City needs it so much. Buffalo needs it. Rochester, Albany, all of our urban areas around New York State need charter schools, and those tax dollars should be following parents and students. It should not be bureaucrats in Albany that are dictating that for our students.
Well, there's no question about it. And I don't think there's a parent out there who wouldn't agree with you that, you know, our kids now are suffering. We don't have a level playing field with China and Russia. Those kids have been going to school. And in a global world, our kids are going to be left behind, which is really a sad commentary.
And it ties into what you were saying about drug use, too. I mean, that ties right into your previous segment right there. And one of the reasons why we're seeing such a spike, that isolation, that's when people ultimately try to seek something else, an opioid, to replace what they need, which is human interaction. So this is a perfect tie into what you were saying before.
And, you know, the frightening part of it is, you know, China is these presses that are putting fentanyl into pills. He said they were M30s and blue 30s that they are literally one out of four will kill. They are intentionally killing the people in the United States. What is the Biden administration is like? They're like out to lunch.
You're absolutely right. And one of the things that I didn't even realize until I got in the White House and had the opportunity to speak with people like Darren, like you spoke with before, is the mindset of the drug addict. You have to remember, too, right? They obviously are sick at the time. So they find that somebody has overdosed from a drug dealer, from fentanyl, they actually flock there because they are chasing that first high that they had. So it is amazing.
Right.
These drug dealers are incentivized to actually bring fentanyl in and to sell them. So it's an uphill battle, but that I am so glad the DEA is focusing on it. But it's ultimately why we need to make sure we have these secure borders. And we're focusing on the important things from border control. Maybe not the Cuban people. That's a whole nother issue right there.
Oh, but
I know it's
terrible.
Covered on the show last night.
Yeah. Well, it's terrible what's going on with the Cubans. The Cubans aren't coming in because they're Republicans, the majority of them, and they'll turn Florida solid red in the presidential election. This is all frightening. But let me get back to, you know, to state issues, you know, as a governor. What are some of the things that you're looking to deal with and tackle on day one?
On day one, we start the deregulatory agenda. You know, every politician, every Republican politician likes to talk about tax cuts. And that's something that I will begin to tackle on day one and set a plan out there. But I'm not naive. That's going to take working with or probably through an assembly and a state senate that, as of right now, are two supermajorities and probably will have at least one of the houses opposed to me. So for me, on day one, we start deregulating in areas where small and middle size businesses in New York can succeed again. It's one of the reasons why we saw the unemployment rate sink to the lowest that it was since before man walked on the moon in the United States under President Trump. And it's my focus from an economic perspective in New York. We start deregulating on day one for businesses to succeed. And as we talked about before, Judge, we stop this war on our cops. Our cops need to know that they have a friend in the governor's office that will allow them to proactively police. Because the truth is, if you have politicians that are just ultimately blowing with the political winds, you're never going to have a safe city the way that we need to. We need to make sure that we have an elected official in the governor's office, hopefully an elected official in City Hall this year on November 2nd. Hint, hint, my friend Curtis Sliwa right there, who will stand up with those police who are proactively policing, who are doing their best to make sure that our city streets are safe and stopping the spiraling of crime as we've seen across the state.
All right. Andrew Giuliani, you certainly have the energy and the enthusiasm. It's great that you were able to spend some time with us this morning on my show. Much luck to you. Get out there and get the message out. And good luck to you. God bless. Thank you, Andrew Giuliani, candidate for governor of the United States. And we're going to start taking some of your phone calls. Call into the Friends of the Court hotline at 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And the results we've been waiting to reveal, we're talking about our question of the week, and it's coming up next right here on the one and only 77 WABC. This year, to mark 20 years since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation is giving 200 mortgage-free homes to Gold Star and fallen first responders. In a moving tribute to the fallen, the foundation's chairman and CEO, Frank Siller, walks for the month of August to September 11th from the Pentagon to Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and on to Ground Zero. The foundation is bringing back Towers of Light to memorials at the Pentagon and in Shanksville. Reading the names aloud of all lost to 9/11 related illnesses on September 12th and reading aloud the names of service members lost in the war on terror on Veterans Day. Help this nation to never forget its greatest heroes. Do good in their honor. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. Thank you.
Tipping the scales when all else fails. The Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Join the Tunnel to Towers Foundation on their mission to do good 20 years after 9/11. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. Okay, welcome back to the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show. All right, you know what time it is? It's time to reveal our question of the week. Last week we posed the question, do you believe the United States should fully fund a wide range of reparation measures to repair race relations? Do you believe the United States should fully fund a wide range of reparation measures to repair race relations? The question was posed after the Biden administration invited the United Nations to investigate race relations and social injustice here in America. So, here are the results. 4% said yes. That means 96% said no. The United States should not fully fund a wide range of reparation measures to repair race relations. So, for this week's, and I couldn't agree more. So, for this week's upcoming question of the week, is there enough mainstream media emphasis on the huge amount of dangerous drugs, including fentanyl, traveling into the United States through our southern border? Is there enough mainstream media emphasis on the huge amount of dangerous drugs, including fentanyl, being brought into our southern border? So make sure you chime into the conversation and vote. All you have to do is log on to our website at wabcradio.com/tag/web-poll. That's, okay, here we go. wabcradio.com/tag/web-poll. I'll be reading the results of the question of the week next Sunday, live right here on 77 WABC. We may have just a minute for a call. I always love hearing from you guys. All right. Let's see. Let's hear from Roger from New York City. Roger, welcome to WABC.
Hi there. By the way, I want to mention something, if I may, regarding the Cubanos there in Cuba that are having these vast problems. There is one catch in the interim we have to discuss, because we have Kamala Harris, the vice president. If the Republicans keep insisting action vis-a-vis Cuba, what's going to happen? She's going to contact the vice president, which I think behind the scenes she's doing, to have them empty their prisons of rapists and other criminals.
That'd be interesting.
And dispatch them to Miami Beach, Florida. Yep. On boats.
That'll be interesting, although we have to wait and see what really happens. But what's your question? Do you have a question?
So my question basically is, do you believe that President Trump was the most pragmatic president we have ever had, and these international and domestic problems would not exist, at least 99% would not exist, if he were still president?
All right. I think the facts speak for themselves in terms of the border, in terms of the, no ending catch and release, in terms of the Mexico policy, keeping them in Mexico. I mean, you know, there's no question that what President Trump did was try to protect America. Right now, it's all you know, Katie bar the door, there isn't anyone who's trying to prevent anyone from coming into this country. Let's go to Muncie in New Jersey. Is it Muncie in New Jersey?
Very much. We appreciate it. We love your book. And did you know that your last book, Don't Lie to Me, has become so prophetic in what's going on in our society now? Oh. The Democrats' chaos.
Yep. Well, I appreciate that. And you know what? The truth is that they lied and they did exactly what the plan was. But talk to me. Do you have a question?
Yes, I did. Isn't there some place in the Constitution they are eroding or amendments, you know, the First Amendment, by having all this chaos and then eliminating our freedom of religion, press, and expression? There has to be some place where we can say, okay, we can't wait for another election to change this. What they're doing is destroying our country.
Well, you know what? And the question is one that we all ask each other. Wait a minute. Isn't this the United States? Doesn't the Declaration of Independence say, you know, that we're entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and the Constitution, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, Second Amendment, free to have a gun? They're, you know, you can't even buy ammunition anymore, even if you have a gun. But I think that we're seeing the United States literally being, and the rights being chipped away at daily by individuals who really don't care about the constitutional rights. So where do you go? You try to bring cases to the Supreme Court. You know, judges are, a lot of these judges are woke. They're not interested in responding or even handling some of them. The only place that matters right now is the voting booth. That is where you have to take them out in terms of putting in new people, putting the stake in the ground. Do you believe in America? Do you believe in law and order? Do you love this country? Or, you know, do you believe in socialism? And unfortunately, we've got to elect people in the school boards. We've got to go all the way down to the local level. And it's up to you to do it. And it's got to be from the ground up. So anyway, guys, I can't believe that we are out of time already. I want to make sure that you join us right back here next Sunday at 11 a.m. sharp for the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. I think the upshot from today's show is a recognition of what I talked about in the open, and that is that the America as we know it is changing, and even the last caller, it's changing, and we're like grasping for the Constitution. We're grasping for someone to save us. There's no one to save us. This is part of a bigger plan to take down America by people who hate capitalism, they hate America, they hate our flag, they hate religion, and they want to take it all down and start all over. They want to make America not a sovereign nation. They want to make it a globalist landing spot. That's all they want. And the truth is that they're bringing people under the cover of darkness, flying them in. The Air Force is flying them in under planes under cover of night. But anyway, up next is the Dick Morris Show. Next week, we're going to break down the upcoming week's political and national headlines as we look to bring you justice and order. Happy Sunday, everyone. Bye.